This is Josh Sumby, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Drayton, North Dakota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Randy Conan and Tyler Donaldson. The recently announced Agricultural Conservation Easement Program under the Inflation Reduction Act is aimed at keeping land in agriculture. USDA Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation Robert Bonney explains.
There's sort of two sides to this program. One is agricultural land easements, farmlands or ranch lands that are impacted by suburban development, or maybe there are threats to turn it into non-agricultural use or non-grasslands in the case of grasslands. And so in those cases, we're providing funding to keep those lands in agriculture, to provide an incentive for those lands to they'll stay in agriculture forever.
A second aspect will focus on wetlands.
And then there's a second program under this which focuses on wetlands and wetland habitats. And so these are either grasslands or a lot of times forest lands. We're restoring the wetland features on those. They can continue to be working farms and ranches and forest lands. But we're doing things that's going to protect those wetlands, protect water quality, protect habitat, and then importantly, keep those lands in private ownership.
Unseasonably warm temperatures have remained across the northern plains for much of the winter. NDSU Rangeland Research Scientist Llewellyn Mansky says there are certain dates to aim for when turning cattle out to pasture.
Usually the crested wheatgrass is ready to graze the 1st of May, and native range is ready to graze on the 1st of June. The grass growth is determined by the length of daylight, not the amount of soil moisture or heat. And so the 3.5 new leaf stage is going to be within 1 or 2 days of those dates.
Last fall, some producers did have a chance to graze later in the season, and Mansky says those pastures may need a little more time to recover.
Well, the pastures that they grazed real late, we didn't have a lot of people grazed late. Those carryover leaves will be gone. They'll be grazed. The carbohydrates that grasses have are not very much, and so they'd be using up almost all their stored carbohydrates by the time spring comes. And so they depend on those carryover leaves, and if they graze the carryover leaves, they're going to be about a month short of turnout diet.
North Dakota Senators Kevin Cramer and John Hoeven have co-sponsored legislation to rescind the EPA's new particulate matter final rule. Hoeven says the Congressional Review Act would stop EPA's unnecessary government overreach of a rule that would impose unworkable mandates and greater costs on manufacturers and energy producers, this leading to higher prices for American consumers.
Kist Livestock Field Representative Matt Lockenmeyer says there is a lot of upside for producers selling cattle right now, despite some pullback in the futures market.
Just with less cattle numbers and mentality-driven markets, even though if the market, you know, yesterday we took a fall back in the market, but the cash just stays strong. It actually elevated quite higher than it ever has been. So we just have elevated cash prices right now on these calves. You know, you start selling these six-weight calves, bringing, you know, 3.25 a pound and selling them up and weighing close to 7, bringing even right at $3 a pound. So a lot of them five-weight cattle, you can get into that 3.5 mark, weighing 550. And so the cattle market is just phenomenally good.
Lockenmeyer says there still doesn't seem to be much interest in building numbers. Feedlots are still competitive on replacement quality heifers.
Just with the cattle markets the way they are and do it, the fact of inflation that we've dealt with, we have a lot of guys that are catching up and taking advantage of this cash market, and we're just not seeing anybody hold a lot of heifers back. We do have some guys that are buying some replacement heifers, but not like in years past where guys were out there to buy replacement heifers and breed them and sell them as bred heifers. So the feed yards right now are very competitive on them cattle, and a lot of times they can beat them out with bidding, and them cattle are going right down into feed yards. So we're not seeing any sign of, you know, people holding a lot of heifers back or even buying heifers to breed right now.
USDA anticipates pork demand to grow this year. USDA Ag Outlook Chairman Mark Jackanowski points to the growing demand as an indicator that hog prices will continue to be on the rise.
Prices have been showing some strength, especially recently, and we raised our average price forecast for hogs by $1 per hundredweight, now at $60.75 per hundredweight. That's up just over $2 a hundredweight year over year. Demand is going to continue to strengthen for pork into the second and third quarters of this year, pulling those prices higher.
Southern Brazil and much of Argentina will see beneficial rains over the next week to 10 days. World Weather Incorporated says an important increase in rain will occur Thursday and that much of the region will receive enough rain to temporarily improve crop conditions. World Weather says parts of Argentina will receive heavy rains and some crop damage will occur.
A snow event next Wednesday and Thursday will be important for providing some moisture for the northern plains. World Weather Incorporated says the snow event will occur as a large cold air mass moves south into the region. Moisture totals will be light, varying from a trace to 35/100ths of an inch. Some localized areas could see more.
Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzulo says the wheat market is limping into the weekend.
The Chinese cancellations that were reported from Australia probably really kind of sealed the deal for the wheat market to see liquidation pressures in, as we closed out the week without the help of the hard red wheat, which still has, in my opinion, maybe the makings of a weather market still because of the fact that we are seeing a little bit more rain in hard red wheat country, but not enough, and the temperatures were very warm before this mild cold front came through. So watching the hard red wheat very closely next week. Probably the other thing that we're working into this market as we close out the week are we're beginning to see some of the new crop acreage base numbers come out from private estimates.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Bloomberg News is reporting legislation to allow year-round E15 sales has been held up in the United States Senate. The legislation faces a hurdle in getting consideration from the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee.
USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending March 7th shows corn export sales of 1.3 million metric tons. That's up 16% from the previous week and 19% more than the four-week average. There were no new crop corn sales. Combined old and new crop soybean sales totaled 470,000 metric tons, down 31% from the previous week, but 48% more than the four-week average. Combined old and new crop wheat sales totaled 165,000 metric tons, which includes a marketing year low old crop sales of 84,000 tons, 51% less than the previous week and the four-week average.
An article by University of Minnesota Extension educator Anthony Hansen highlighted possible issues that a warm winter may pose for pest management during the 2024 growing season. Warm temperatures may mean less winter kill of soybean aphids across the state. However, this could also mean beneficial insects and pathogens that help control soybean aphids may also be in a better position for the coming growing season.
Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson says the grains remain quietly mixed.
Well, it seems like that, you know, and, you know, wheat kind of got, you know, blindsided by more cancellation. I shouldn't say blindsided, but I mean, they got hit with cancellations from China from the Thanksgiving purchases of the soft red. That put some pretty heavy pressure or heavy selling into the wheat markets that, you know, it seemed like the market couldn't quite rebound from. So, you know, we're seeing losses in the wheat market for the week. You know, we're going to see losses in corn because that kind of spilled over as well into the corn market. Soybeans actually have gains for the week, but it looks like, you know, as we're closing out the week, we're trying to, again, bring these markets back to being close to steady for the week.
The livestock markets are seeing some short covering.
You know, that's a market that we're seeing cash improve, which is kind of nice to see. Packers are needing to buy, so that's helped improve the cash market a little bit. But we still have, you know, the inflationary index estimates, you know, the CPI and the PPI coming in showing inflation is still a concern. It's likely the Fed is not going to lower their interest rates next week in their March meeting, which means that, you know, we're going to see, you know, And at this point, with the numbers increasing like they are, they might even consider increasing rates again.
Stephen, Minnesota farmer John Field plans to wait until April to head to the field.
You know, March is early, and that's too early for anything. April is just fine, and we hope to have an early spring. It brings some excitement to getting an extended growing season. But we have to prepare for that, have equipment ready a little bit sooner, because the ground might just be ready sooner than we were expecting.
Ag Watch Market Advisors President Dewey Strickler says the grain trade continues to just chop sideways.
Yeah, we got the corn a little bit higher here. We did have 125,000 ton sale to an unknown destination, and I think that's offering a little bit of support here. I have seen where you have had the sales, and they have not offered support, but corn was down yesterday. Looks like we got a little bit of a rebound going here today, and soybeans acted like they put a top end yesterday, and they're still lower here again this morning, and wheat market is just holding its own here.
And we're seeing some short covering in the livestock markets.
A little bit of strength going here in the meats here today. Our export sales were not that great here on the meats, but in the hogs, or not the hogs, but in the cattle, we had a reversal down yesterday, and now we're getting a little bit of a recovery on that. And in the hogs, of course, they've been down for few sessions, and they're also getting the recovery here as well. I'd be a little surprised they got up and made any new highs, though. So it's typical trade for a Friday here right now.
The European Commission's plan to replace mandatory fallow land requirements for farmers with a voluntary scheme faces delays due to disagreements on specifics, the Polish farmers' protests against restrictions from the EU's Green Deal, and competition from Ukrainian imports. EU Agriculture Commissioner Janusz Wojciechowski has assured a forthcoming announcement on the proposal, including changes to crop rotation obligations and exempting small farms from environmental inspections. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Ariana Schumacher. Ariana, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
This week, I went to the Pink Flamingo Yak Ranch outside of Brookings, South Dakota, and learned a little bit about yak ranching in South Dakota and how they take meat from those yaks and make yak.
I never knew there was yaks in the U.S. even.
Yeah, I think they're more in, like, Nebraska, Colorado area, but there's a few in South Dakota, a lot of hobby farms, but this producer actually has about 80 different yaks on his operation, so pretty big yak farm.
What's the meat like?
They say it tastes like elk. I didn't try it. I'm not quite that adventurous. But they say it tastes like elk. Looks like a nice hamburger. And, yeah, so the Safari Bar and Grill in Renner, which is a little south of the Yak Ranch, they're actually the ones that created the Yak Burger. And so they sell quite a few of those from their restaurant.
I'm guessing it's probably pretty lean and pretty healthy.
Yeah, I think so. It's supposed to be a healthier, heart-healthier option as opposed to beef. And apparently people really like the taste of it.
How did they get started raising yak?
Basically got into it from a friend who went to exotic animal auctions, and so he got into it by going into those and then started trying them out a little bit, and his herd just kept growing from there.
Well, sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Look at markets before we leave you. Minneapolis May wheat trading 10 1/4 lower at 6.45. September down 7 3/4 at 6.58. Chicago wheat 5 1/4 lower at 5.27. Kansas City down 13 cents at 5.61 3/4. May corn futures 1 1/4 higher at 4.35. Soybeans May futures down 1 3/4 at 11.93 1/4. Canola in Winnipeg, $5.90 a metric ton higher at $6.29.10 Canadian. And soybean meal down $3.60 a ton at $3.33.80. Live cattle, April futures, 5 cents higher at $186.95. June live cattle down 2 cents at $183.35. March feeder cattle, $1.12 higher at $248.60. April lean hogs up $1.80. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.